The collect or opening prayer of today's Mass reads thus. Grant us, we pray, O Lord our God, the constant gladness of being devoted to you, for it is full and lasting happiness to serve with constancy the author of all that is good. In this prayer of the Mass, as a first point of reflection, devotion and service are joined. Devotion, meaning, we might say, a dedication of one's heart to the one to whom we are devoted, the one that we wish to serve, let us say. And so to serve and to give devoted service, those are two things. I can be of service to somebody, but I might not be devoted. I might not give a service of devotion. It is clear that one is superior to the other. To serve is always good. To give devoted service is better, is it not? To dispose one's heart, to open one's heart to the other. No? Isn't this superior to, let us say, a service whereby I might betray an indifference? I might not be interested. I might not be concerned about anyone other than myself. God wishes not simply service, but devotion, a dedication to Him, to be devoted to our Lord. Many Christians, many Catholics, go through the motions. And perhaps many of them put themselves at service. And they might, in one way or another, display certain signs of devotion. But for many, this devotion is what we call superficial. And what is it? What is something that's superficial that doesn't try to go beneath the surface, precisely to open one's heart, to permit one not only to donate one's heart, to open one's heart, but to be open to a change of one's heart. Because real devotion is not simply a question of my being available to give my heart, namely my person, to someone else, but my openness to being transformed, to being changed. This is when we know, when we can perceive whether we have true devotion or not. See, when we don't yet have a devotion that has sunk its roots in very deep, we are not always open to being changed. And to whom is it that we wish to be devoted? It says in the prayer, the author of all that is good. What does this mean? It means that when I open myself up for change, it's not going to ever be for the worse. Ever. If this is the one that's the author of all good, that means when this one who is good touches my heart will be left better than it was before. See? And this is what real devotion is all about, you see. Now, in the first place, we speak of one who wishes to touch our heart at the very beginning, and does. But then he knocks and he waits For what? A response. A response that's not simply of service without devotion, but devoted service. Because if I open my heart, I dispose my whole person, body and soul, to the one who is the author of all good. And what is it then that I aim to do with devoted service, but to return to the author of all good that very goodness that he has already given me, you see? And what do I get in return for that? More goodness from the author of all good. But I never discover this if my devotion is merely superficial. Returning to the prayer, it says, grant us, we pray, O Lord our God, the constant gladness of being devoted to you. Constancy enters into the equation. And gladness, joy. Because when we carry forth the service of devotion, it is a joyful service. How many of us, how many Catholics practice their faith without any joy actually being in their hearts? Where's the devotion in that? How many just go through the motions? And this can be said of many what have been traditionally called Sunday Catholics. Not to mention those who are not even, we might not even classify as Sunday Catholics. How many? How many practice their faith with joy? Where is the devotion if the joy isn't there? See? And what we will discover, though, is that there lacks the constancy in this devotion. See, our faith is not one that sometimes we're hot, sometimes we're cold. We may feel this way, but regardless of how we may feel individually, we don't just look to see what we can get out of it, so to speak. But rather, we look for that true gift of giving. And it's a gift. It says here, grant us, but we might as well say, bestow upon us, Lord, the gift of constancy. See, it's a gift. And one that we ought to strive for. Not simply when we feel like it to mutter a distracted prayer, but to strive with each and every moment of my life to live that life of devotion, to strive for that constancy, which brings with it the gift of joy. And it's a very great gift when we're given this gift of devotion that comes with the gift of joy. We're not called to be morose. We're not called to be robots. We're called to radiate the joy of the Lord. This is what he wishes to give each and every one of us. This is what we're supposed to be as Catholics. How many times has the present Holy Father reminded us of this fact? What is he then telling us? That we're too superficial. If we don't have that joy of the Lord, then we have not yet reached that stage of devotion that we must have as a minimum in order to really be considered a good Catholic, let us say. The prayer continues, for it is full and lasting happiness to serve with constancy the author of all that is good. See, this is a very great promise. When we are given the gift of this devotion, when we can serve the Lord with constancy, what is placed at our behest? A full and lasting happiness. Full, nothing missing, and lasting happiness. Isn't this what we as human beings look for? Isn't this part of our makeup? God has made us what? To be happy, but not partially, but fully. And not just for a time, but lasting and everlasting indeed. When we have that gift to serve with constancy, our Lord promises full and everlasting happiness. What instead happens if we don't have the proper devotion, if our devotion only is superficial, if we are capricious about the practice of our faith? Then we look elsewhere, don't we, to find a happiness that will be neither full nor lasting. How many people today try to substitute for a full happiness, which they have given up trying to find, an intense experience? How many? Isn't this why we have the proliferation of pornography, alcohol, drugs, and the rest? No. People try to find a substitute which falls far short of the mark. Indeed, it leaves not a fullness, but an emptiness. It betrays an emptiness existing in one's heart. When our hearts are filled with emptiness, we turn despairingly, anxiously, here, there, and everywhere, to smother that feeling of emptiness, don't we? Because we're not made for emptiness, but the fullness of the goodness of the Lord, you see. And when we try to fill our heart with what is not the goodness of the Lord, what is the result? Not a happiness, for sure, but the opposite. And that's where many people find themselves today. Because they have forsaken the author of all good and have ceased to look to that same source of all goodness and have closed their hearts, there's a certain implosion that happens in this case, an implosion that is so severe that for many people, they no longer know how to find the way out of this private little hell that they've created for themselves. See? That's what happens when first I fail to cultivate the proper devotion, or that devotion is too superficial. And second, that I do not look to practice that devotion with constancy. When I'm given that gift of constant devotion, I can't help but be joyful. That very gift of being constantly devoted, of the very practices of the faith, are itself a source of joy. Have we ever thought about this, by the way? For many, the thought, when we talk about these sorts of things, immediately the idea of monotony and boredom and all the rest come into play. Whereas, when we really open up our hearts, when we really strive to practice with constancy our faith, paradoxically, the opposite happens. Because a real joy, a down payment, we may say, of the joy that never ends, comes into our hearts. And that's what the Lord reserves to those who wait, who cultivate, who persevere, as our Lord talks about in the gospel. See, there's a very important reason that our Lord permits us sometimes to suffer certain trials for a very long period of time. If we didn't, how would we persevere? How can you say you persevere if you do not have to go through the trial, simple trials of what? The trial of prayer. The trial of the very practice of the faith, understand? See why our Lord permits us sometimes to struggle with prayer in the spiritual life, in the practice of the faith. Think about what goes on in the rest of the world where it's not so easy to get to Sunday Mass, for example. Think about those places where one cannot openly practice the faith, and think about the dogged perseverance of the faithful who, despite those conditions, do what? Persevere in their faith. What joy must they have? What joy? And how they would love to give that to you and to me. It's not that we wish for the most adverse conditions possible. I think our Lord is being merciful to us here in the good old U.S. of A., because he knows that if we were to undergo such adverse conditions, what would happen? We'd shrivel up, we wouldn't persevere. So he's being merciful to us, giving us a little time to cultivate that constant devotion, to prove ourselves worthy of the joy that he wants to give us. And he that is the author of all that is good wants to give us everything. And we know this because of what he did to his mother and ours. He gave himself. Now she, as we know, the Immaculate, was completely devoted to our Lord from the first moment of her existence. And our Lord, in a certain sense, never had to knock on the door of her heart. The door was always open. So wide open was that door that God himself found a resting place in her womb. See? Imagine if our hearts were that open. God himself came into her heart. And so constant was her devotion, and intense too, that she could not help but pour forth a praise of joy that resounds in the church today and will resound for all time, the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And this is the joy that our Lord wants to give you and me, and he wants to give it through her. She's the one who will teach us to serve the Lord with constancy, to experience then the constant gladness of being devoted to you, so that our gladness, our joy, will become one with hers and will be an everlasting hymn to our Creator and Redeemer.